Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
A little self-care can go a long way, especially amidst the hustle and bustle of the holidays. That's where Vegamore comes in. Trusted by millions, Vegamore is all about giving your hair the love and care it deserves. With their vegan and cruelty-free formulas, you can nourish and revitalize your strands while indulging in some much-needed pampering. Because let's face it, who couldn't use a bit more me time this time of year? Go to vegamore.com/ACAST, code ACAST. That's VEGAMOUR.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I wish that I could have a good podcast to make me laugh, just like the one I have with Josh and Byron.
Whoa, yeah!
Paranormality, UK.
And welcome, everybody, to our 100th exciting episode. I've been saving that since Christmas for you to use.
And finally, we have an opportunity to use it.
Finally, we do.
Hell yeah.
Yes, 100 episodes, everybody.
Woohoo! We got there.
We did get there. In fact, we actually started recording this beforehand and realised that Josh's channel wasn't recording at all. And so we had to start again.
Yeah. And we actually went above and beyond.
Yeah, we bought sparklers. Well, I was going to get like a birthday cake. But we're on a budget, so I ended up getting some cherry Bakewell tarts. We put sparklers in the shape of 100, and we lit them on the episode, and it was all really cool and brilliant, and now they're burnt out.
Yeah, so we don't have
we don't have sparklers anymore.
We have the remains of brimstone left to show.
Unfortunately. And also, the little intro song that you heard just before we started talking... Mm. We did ask Lenny Kravitz if we could use that as our main Paranormality intro song. And what he said to us was, "What the hell are you doing on my tour bus? I'm trying to take a shower, man. Get the fuck out of here."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I took that to mean we can use it for our 100th episode and that's it. No more. Done.
Yeah, yeah. I actually took a pair of his leather pants with me.
Did you?
I don't know if he's noticed if they're missing yet.
But he will do now.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I'm finding the right occasion for leather pants.
Yeah. So. Oh, I could have nicked a guitar.
Yeah, you should have done.
I should have done, yeah. Then I wouldn't have had to do that all in a cappella.
Yeah. That is very impressive, though. All vocals. That's not me on there, by the way. That is all pirates.
100% me, baby.
All his own voice. But very nice. But unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever hear it again. I think it's a one-off.
That is a one-off, yeah. And for those of you watching on YouTube, our special artist designer guy, Polar Bear, he designed the Star Wars Wars style text going into the background.
The intro, yeah. The wall crawl, I believe they call it.
Is that what it's called? The yellow writing going into the distance?
Wall crawl?
Yeah, I don't know how to do that, so he done it for me.
Word crawl, that's the one.
Polar Bear and Penguin have been the backbone of this this podcast for a number of months now, and we need to give them a good shout out. So let's do that right now at the start. Thank you very much, Polar Bear. Thank you, Penguin. There's two dudes that have brought us out of the mud into the forefront of podcasts.
Very good eggs. And it was at a time where we were getting a bit burnt out from podcasting, and they kind of picked us up, didn't they? And they were like, don't give up.
They gave us a boost, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think
a lot of people can fall under that. What they call it, pod fade?
Yeah,
they fall for the pod fade, and they sort of burn out and then just sort of, stop doing a podcast. And we were sort of starting to get a little bit like that, weren't we? But they picked us up and give us a kick up the arse.
Yeah, yeah. And they both had very kind things to say.
And they both have beards.
They do, yeah, yeah. But for people that don't know, Penguin is the more smart IT.
Yeah, he's Windows IT manager or something like that, tech-savvy guy. He's the guy that set up the website and the link tree and all that sort of thing. And
Polar Bear's the awesome artist.
Yeah, he's done all our merch, which you should buy if you haven't already.
Graphics guy, and pretty good drummer as well.
And he's got an awesome sense of humour.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Good accent as well. I can't do it, but yeah.
In fact, while we're doing shout-outs, we should probably give a shout-out to everybody that's actually been on the show over the last 100 episodes to help us get here.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, including you that's listening to this now, obviously. You know, the people at home. You're the also the backbone of this podcast. Mm. We would just be talking to nobody if it weren't for you listening to it. So thank you very much for tuning in. And people who've been on, I guess we start with Ezekiel.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first guy. Well, Toomsy, I guess, was the first guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had the haunted washing machine.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So Toomsy and Ezekiel. Mm-hmm. We've had a few people with books.
Yeah.
like
Joseph Matheny.
Joseph Matheny. Well, he's been a feature on the episode. We interviewed him. Mm-hmm. We've had Bruce Wappiano. We've had Mike Pudlow Umney with a Bigfoot book.
Mm-hmm.
We had Joe LaRosa.
Yeah.
We've had the other Mike Smith with the hair episode.
Yeah.
Oh, crikey.
This is testing your memory.
This is testing my memory now, isn't it? We've had Truman Roswell on a couple of times. And Sam, or a.k.a. What was his a.k.a.?
Peter Nixon.
Peter Nixon, that was it, if that is your real name, as Truman would say. Philip Mantle.
Yes, of course.
Philip Mantle, yes. One of the directors of MUFON.
That's it, MUFON.
Yes, thank you very much, Philip. Yeah, he sent a few people our way, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. We're still waiting for David Icke to get back to us and Stephen Greer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not holding out much hope for them.
No.
I think we're a bit too low-key for them.
But if we have forgotten anyone, we do apologise. But I think that is it, I think, as far as guests go.
I think so.
We're doubting ourselves.
I'm doubting myself now. We've already done this once, so we've already spilled them out once. Now,
I bet you we've forgotten one.
I bet we have.
I can't believe they didn't.
Missed me out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll pick up with other shout outs later on in the episode. But we've got this game that we've also bought for your entertainment. It's one of those electronic shock games.
Yeah.
Which this is entirely Josh's idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're going to have to play it.
Yeah.
Now, we've each had a shock from this once already, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah. I would say it was quite shocking, but it's not terribly
I felt
bad.
It.
It's enough for you to go, ooh.
Yeah. Let's stick it on. Oh, that sound.
Let's do
it. So this is versus mode, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's either me or you.
Okay, here we go. Got me again.
It got me through the machine again.
Yeah. All right, okay, so I apologise for swearing then. But the bleep machine may come out a few times if we carry on playing that game.
Yes, yeah. It's not a nice shock, to be fair.
It's not, but in fairness, like, I knew it was going to get me more than you, because when we have to fix electric fences or something at work when we're on the farm, you just do it. You're barehanded with the battery still turned on and everything.
Yeah, I'm double hard,
yeah,
mate.
You just fix the fence. And I'm like, no, I'm going to turn the battery off. I don't like it.
Yeah, no, don't bother me, to be fair. The only time it really gets me is when it's a strong fence and then it touches my wedding ring.
It goes
through my finger. That's the only time it proper gets me, and then I start swearing. But
yeah,
I'm not too bad of electric.
So yeah.
Yeah,
there we
go.
Well, that was exciting. We have got more exciting stuff coming up. We have got something that could kill us, but we're waiting for the end of the episode for that one, and it's not just an electric shock.
No.
From three AAA batteries. But I guess we should carry on with the main bulk of the episode.
Yes, yeah.
Do you want to tell everybody our thoughts on what the episode was about?
Yeah, so the Evil Empires was quite popular amongst comments and views and downloads. So we thought, why don't we do another kind of mini version of Evil Empires? But just like with the other one, it was an excuse for me to kind of rant about Disney and get things off my chest. Mm-hmm. I feel like this episode is for you to get things off your chest.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
So I don't know if you want to take it away.
Okay, yeah. Well, I guess we've got as far as we did on the first take.
Yep.
So, yeah, here we go. We're still good. Right. I guess for the people listening on Spotify or Amazon or whatever, you won't necessarily get this so much, but people on YouTube will probably have noticed the last few weeks I have spent a lot less time editing our episode, because normally we've got three cameras set up, one that covers both of us and then a face cam each, and every Saturday I spend 5 to 7 hours editing it to, you know, be visually exciting as much as I can, at least with three cameras, and put like stock footage in there and, you know, like pictures and all that sort of thing, and B-roll where it needs it, and just stuff to try and make what we're saying make sense or a bit funnier or whatever. And like I say, I spend 5 to 7 hours every weekend doing that. Time that I could be spent doing other things.
Yeah.
And I do it all for, 30 views a week.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not even a blip on YouTube's radar.
No, they probably don't know we exist.
And so my big rant this week, my evil empire, is YouTube. I guess Google as a umbrella company, but YouTube in particular.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Google kind of helps us with our research.
It does, yeah. Well, that's the thing. In fairness, with both of our choices this week, we are slaves to them.
Yeah, we are.
We are going to be super hypocritical this episode.
Yeah, if you thought the last Evil Empires was hypocritical, boy, are you in for a treat.
Yeah, because obviously I upload every week YouTube. I love watching YouTube. Mm. You know, I watch it almost every night. Love it, but it's not tailored for everybody. You know, I feel like they're enticing you to try and make these channels and stuff. And there's channels out there who teach you how to grow your channel, grow your audience, and all this sort of thing. And it's all it really is, honestly. Like, it doesn't matter. We've been doing it for nearly 2 years now,
yeah.
And there's only one subject that has really taken. It's what they call blown up.
Yeah.
Like, where we've actually had more than 1,000 views per episode, and that is Ingo Swann.
Yeah. And you reckon it might be because there's not much on him
on across the rest of YouTube. Yeah, there's no one really doing spotlights on Ingo Swann. So, you know, there's out of the few videos that are out there, people do find ours, and we've had thousands of views on those videos, and the rest of them we've had somewhere between 20 to 100 views. A couple of, you know, a handful of videos that have gone into the hundreds.
Mm.
But no other videos have topped 1,000. We've been doing this nearly 2 years, and I've followed every format and formula that they tell you to do, altering your thumbnails, making sure they're jazzy and, like, you know, look at me, click on, you know, clickbait sort of thing and all that sort of thing. It doesn't work. It doesn't, and it doesn't work for 90% of people trying it. It really doesn't. Yeah. And I'm sure that a lot of people out there are going to feel the same way. There are going to be that handful of people where it does work for them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I accept that. There, you know, there are a small percentage of YouTubers that really do make it. And they can make a lot of money at it. But that's the enticing thing, isn't it? YouTube entices you in with, like, oh, look, Mr. Beast gets millions of pounds and he's able to buy cars for people and treat 1,000 people and give them laser eye surgery and all this, all off the money that he's made from YouTube. So why don't you do it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It's the 1%, isn't it?
Yeah, it's that 1% of people that make it. And all right, yeah, Mr. Beast may have found, not just Mr. Beast, but, you know, everybody goes back to Mr. Beast because he's had the biggest amount of views, like, ever, isn't it? But, they say that he's the one that cracked the formula. And lots of people have tried to copy that formula. Still don't work for him.
Yeah.
Even his brother, you know, with all of his production company and everything, Mr. Beast's brother tried to launch a YouTube channel, failed.
Yeah, yeah. So it doesn't work for everyone.
It does not work for everybody.
Yeah.
No, and like YouTube profits off of that because that's what YouTube wants to do. It wants to keep people on YouTube watching video after video after video so it can present them with advertisements. Now, do you know how much YouTube makes out of all us failures trying to do that?
I'm going to guess millions.
Billions.
Oh, right. Okay.
Last year, 2023, YouTube made $15 billion in revenue.
Wow. Okay. And that's not off of the 1%?
No. Well, YouTube takes 50% off the people who are monetized.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, there are hundreds of millions of channels out there that have videos that sometimes do quite well. Like, I've had videos in the past, on my droning channel and stuff like that, I had videos that blew up and did get, like, several thousand views. In fairness, even when you get over just, like a couple of hundred views, if you've got a video that is trending, or a subject that is trending, it will stick adverts on there, and they're getting the money for that. You don't get it unless you've already entered the partnership program.
Yeah, yeah.
So, when you think about that $15 billion that they made last year, probably 80, 90% of it is off people that aren't actually earning themselves.
Or adverts.
And they've got no control over whether there's adverts on their videos and their channels or not. Mm. And even, this is what really makes it evil as well, is the fact that the ones that are monetized, they used to be able to control the adverts that were on their channel. Yeah, so some creators, and I really respected these creators, they would say, right, I just want an advert at the start that you can click to skip if you want to, and then I don't want anything through the middle and just maybe an advert at the end. Or, do you remember those little boxes that came up at the bottom of the video where it didn't stop the video and make you watch an ad, it was just a little box that you could click to get rid of if you wanted to with an advert on it, or you could click to follow the advert, whatever. You won't even see them on YouTube anymore. They've got rid of them because not even the owners of the channels can have any say in the adverts that go on nowadays. In the last few months, YouTube has changed this. So no channel has any kind of control over the adverts that they put on the channel. So there's none of this, like, clickable stuff. Nowadays, you watch YouTube and quite often you'll get a 20-second advert that you just can't click away from.
Yeah, yeah, they want you to pay $9.99 a month.
Yeah, they want you to pay $9.99. Now, I've got 5 different YouTube accounts. Do you think I'm paying $9.99 a month on all 5 of them just so that I can watch advert-free? No, I've got different YouTube accounts. So because I'm interested in different things, I've got one for my drones, one for like space and stuff like that, one for game development because I've been getting into that. I've got our paranormality account. I've got another one that's just private, just for my own personal thing. I've got like five different accounts. I'm not paying for advert free on all of them.
Yes, adding up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always thought the algorithm was always off with YouTube as well.
It is.
Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't promote... It promotes bigger channels over smaller channels. And I guess it's in their interest to do that because they're going to earn more money from the advert revenue from bigger channels. I get that. I do. But, like, even when I've found... Because I always totally support the smaller channels. I love it when, like, I find a channel that's got interesting content... They've only got, like, maybe, you know, a few videos with just, like, a couple of hundred views each or something like that. And I'll watch it and I'll be like, oh, yeah, that's good. And I'll press the like button. Never see him again.
Yeah.
I never see him again.
Yeah.
And yet, this random video on how to fix your carburetor on your Porsche. I don't own a Porsche. I don't know nothing about engines. I don't want to fix my car. But because it's had 50 million views, YouTube's like, oh, you should know. You should want to watch this. No, I don't.
Yeah, watch this video now.
But, I don't, I mean, it doesn't matter what my interests are on any of my five YouTube channels. That one will show up on three of them.
Yeah,
do you know what
yeah.
I mean? So it is pushing that to literally anybody and everybody just because it's been a little bit popular before now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then big creators get even more of a hit from it. I follow a guy, some of you might know him already, Spiffing Brit. He's a computer game exploiter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's even exploited YouTube itself a few times. Very funny guy, very entertaining. He really is. To be honest, I prefer his earlier videos to his current stuff. But very entertaining, very eye-opening when he does like exploit YouTube and whatnot. Even like he says, like when he does his exploits and stuff, like he's saying about how if you like unclick the like button on his live stream and then like it again and then unclick it and then like it again, it boosts the algorithm, so it presents his video to more and more people, and he'll have like each time it'll present it to another 500,000 people. Mm-hmm. Right, I checked our analytics for this channel, and within 48 hours of any new video going out, how many impressions do you think YouTube gives out?
I have no idea.
50.
That's it, just 50?
Yeah, 50.
Well, I mean, we are a small channel, I suppose, aren't we? But
yeah, we've got, at this point, when we're recording this, we've still got like 400 subscribers, so it should at least go out to 400 people.
Yeah, you would think. The math doesn't add up there.
No!
But yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, usually... It's evil. It's trying to lure you in, promising you with all these riches and, you know, you could live like Mr. Beast as well. And it just, I think 99% of the time, it just does not deliver. And I also go through Reddit quite often. I was part of a Reddit group called NewTubers and stuff like that. And even the people who are monetized and that sort of thing, they feel like they're caught, crushed in this, like, prison of what YouTube has created for them. Because if they try and make content that's slightly off the norm for what they will normally do, it just gets crushed. No one watches it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they feel compelled that they have to keep making the same video over and over again, talking about the same thing over and over again. And they just, like we did, they get burnt out.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that.
And a lot of them I've seen time and time again on Reddit, YouTubers going, I feel like I want to quit just because my passion's not in it anymore.
Mm.
It was to start with, but now it's not. And that's kind of the way that I've been feeling over the last few weeks, and why I've dropped out on like as much editing as what I used to do. I used to spend hours and hours every weekend doing it, and now I just think, well, if YouTube ain't giving us the views, I ain't bothering to put that much effort into it. Most people are listening to it on the audio podcast. And to be fair, the people watching on YouTube have probably got it on in the kitchen while they're cooking. So they're not really watching it anyway. They're just listening to it the same. Because this is listenable content, isn't it? It's a podcast. Yeah.
The juice isn't worth the squeeze.
No.
But if whatever happens with our direction in YouTube, We'll probably still put it up on YouTube.
It'll still be there.
So, you know, if people don't have subscriptions to Spotify or Amazon or Apple or any of those things, they can still watch it for free.
Yeah, of course can. I'll still keep doing it because we did talk about giving up YouTube altogether just a few weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was just hence another reason why we didn't do this as a live stream, because we're so disillusioned with YouTube. But when I did that first episode, and I was like, well, I'm just taking the main cam. I've already edited the audio and, you know, made that all nice and decent and just fit it to the main camera. It's just us two. I haven't got to keep swapping cameras, putting stock footage and B-roll and all that sort of thing in there anymore. Mm. I was like, that's actually taken me like 20 minutes, start to finish.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm happy with that. I'd rather put my time into the audio and then just do a quick video edit and stick that on YouTube, because most people ain't actually watching it anyway, are they? Let's face it. It's a podcast.
Yeah, very true.
But it still will be available. We're not stopping it completely, or we're not transferring to YouTube Music or whatever that a lot of podcasts are doing these days. We will still keep it as a video that you can watch if you really want to, but you're probably just going to put it on and listen to it. So hopefully it won't affect you. But that is my rant. That is my evil empire, YouTube. They're out for themselves and not for the people that are actually making them that money.
Yeah.
That is my point. $15 billion, all from our hard work, your hard work, everybody's hard work.
Well, speaking of evil empires, I've not gone for a rant this time. I just wanted to think of a company that I'd heard stories about before, about being evil, to kind of match YouTube in a way.
Right.
And I have an iPhone, so...
A lot of people have. I have an iPhone. A lot of people do.
Yeah, so I went for Apple because I'd heard of stories about Steve Jobs.
We record this on an iMac.
Yeah. So I thought, you know what, I'll dive into Apple and Steve Jobs. And let me tell you, it's actually worse than I thought.
Is it shocking?
It's quite
Let's
shocking.
Play the game. Right, go for it. Here we go. Who's going to be the most shocking? Is it going to be me? This as well. You didn't get. Did you get shocked?
Not that time. You've been shocked three times.
Three times in a row, man. Ah.
I love that game. That's one of the best ideas I've come out with. let's start off with. I'll just start. Should I start with Apple, or do you want the Steve Jobs? I think Steve Jobs last because it's more juicy.
Yeah, let's start with Apple as a company.
So Apple as a company. The first thing is Apple has illegally monopolized the US smartphone market. So the government claimed Apple broke the law by maintaining a closed ecosystem for the iPhone in pursuit of profits and at the expense of consumers and innovation.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, so Apple has begun paying the $500 million settlement to iPhone users in the US who accused the tech giant of purposely slowing down devices, which was known as Batterygate.
Oh, right, because like after a while, they send out an update that literally makes your battery run out in like 2 hours, don't they, basically?
Yeah.
After so long, and then you just literally have to replace your phone. It's happened to me about three times.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I've replaced the battery, and even with a brand new battery, the phone still won't last all day. You have to put it on charge halfway through the day.
Yeah, you do.
It's happened to you as well, because I know I've replaced your battery.
You have indeed. So, where do we start here? I mean, this might not make sense to most
people.
Also,
I'd like to add to that. Like I said, we do record the audio. I record on Logic Pro on the iMac, and I don't record using the most up-to-date version of Logic because... of a pretty similar thing. Apple changed the style of hard drive for the latest operating system, and you can't put updated software like Logic and you know, Final Cut and all that sort of thing onto an older Mac because it needs the new operating system, which you can't put onto the Mac because it's got the old hard drive. So because my Mac has got an old hard drive, I have to use an old version of Logic to record, which to me is fine because I'm used to it and I know how it works. But yeah, for, we did at one point buy a newer Mac. Sort of same age Mac, but with a newer hard drive to it. And it was bone slow. It was for what I want to do with the recording and the videos and stuff like that, it just could not cope with it because it was using that newer operating system on an older Mac, almost the same age. And I just went back to the old Mac. I think you had the other Mac.
I did, yeah. And it works fine.
For what you want, yeah. Well, your missus wanted it for like photography and stuff, which it was fine for photography.
So Apple controls apps, the content, and they take 30% cut of every software developer's app.
Yeah, and they charge you $99 a year to be a software developer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they can basically use whatever they want. They don't have to pay you for it.
Whereas Android, on the other hand, do you know how much they charge to become a software developer?
I'm guessing zero.
$20 once.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I guess that kind of goes against my YouTube thing because Google owns YouTube and Google owns Android and they only charge you $20, whereas Apple charges $99 every year.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
So yeah, that's
you're
quite
winning
a lot.
On the evil scale at the moment.
The company has taken Admiral stances like its refusal of the FBI's demand to weaken its encryption after the 2015 San Bernardino terrorist shooting, and more recently its denial of Attorney General Bill Barr's request that unlock the iPhones of the Pensacola naval base shooter. So Apple are basically, they have the security and encryption.
Yeah, I heard about this. Like the CIA contacted Apple and said that they wanted a back door through the encryption of the iMessage. And Apple said, we can't do it. It's end-to-end encrypted because we want privacy for our users. And the CIA said, well, that's not good enough. You're going to have to stop it. And they said, no. No, we can't do it. It's built into the iPhone.
Yeah, but then they did it for China. Yeah. So in 2017, the Chinese government, they banned the distribution of virtual private networks, which are supposed to keep web browsing private and secure, insisting that they be replaced with VPNs with known backdoors, blah, blah, blah. So essentially, Apple eliminated this for China or for the Chinese government.
Wouldn't do it for their own nation.
But yeah, wouldn't do it to solve murders or crimes or anything like that. So it's a bit of...
That's pretty despicable.
But they have been called out for it, so we'll see what happens there. I think pretty sure that's going to court.
Is that in court cases at the moment?
I think it's, still being worked out. Okay. It's to do with surveillance as well, because obviously the Chinese are big on surveillance for their civilians and things. So we've got censorship as well. So Apple is almost pushing an agenda where they can, with their apps and social media, they can basically control what you're seeing. It's like the whole election thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like pushing certain things. So people know about that. So, so basically keeping everything within Apple. So producing like smart like light sockets and smart bulbs, smart Nerf guns, things like that.
Smart Nerf guns.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Apple's control over the service has caught the attention of the likes of John Deere, as in the tractor.
The tractor. Oh,
so they will cheerfully sell farmers tractors for hundreds of thousands of dollars and then tell the US Copyright Office that they don't own the tractors, they merely license them out. So they can't necessarily fix it all the time and things like that. So it's just,
all right.
Yeah, it's just pretty dodgy, isn't it?
Oh, it is pretty dodgy.
And this is, as it says here, that is why they can't expect to repair the agriculture equipment and farmers are expected to do it themselves. So,
farmers always have been expected to do it themselves, I suppose. So.
This one is shocking. The total waste generated by Apple. I only could find statistics for 2021, so we're going back a few years.
Okay, yeah.
But in 2021, Apple had 52,490 tons of waste.
Wow.
And that's just from broken or unused iPhones and like iMacs
and laptops and products, stuff like that.
Yeah, 52,490 tons of waste. And that was actually a 14.8% increase compared to 2020.
Oh, so it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
So, yeah 2023 and 2024 are just going to be maybe quite a lot more.
Disclaimer, I am going to mention suicide. So if you've been affected by suicide, tune out for about a minute or two. So the Foxconn suicides, I think most people would know what I'm talking
building
about.
Building nets around it.
So, yeah, well, let's build up to that part.
Sorry.
So there was a spate of suicides with the conditions of the Chinese building that they were... Or actually, it was some reports say China, some reports say Taiwan. But the living conditions and the working conditions were absolutely terrible. So a series of suicides drew media attention and employment practices at Foxconn, one of the largest or the world's largest contract electronics manufacturers. They were investigated by several of its customers, and the main customers were Apple and Hewlett-Packard that deal
with it.
And it got that bad that they did have to put nets around the building because people were jumping out of it.
That's what I heard.
And then I have to say allegedly Apple did do something about this. And it says that they didn't want to work with Foxconn any longer. So they moved to a different warehouse, and allegedly there was very similar problems. Not as far as suicide, but the
working conditions didn't improve.
Yeah,
this is a surprise.
So that's not great. Now, as far as Apple goes, that's pretty much the main evil things that Apple have done. But I wonder if, going to the next bit, talking about Steve Jobs, if there's a connection here between why Apple are a little bit evil and why they're doing the things they're doing, because I've got a few facts on Steve Jobs.
Okay,
And for those who don't know, Steve Jobs
was the CEO of Apple.
One of the co-founders of Apple. So he was shouting and cursing at employees for very common jobs and mistakes. Many employees resigned from Apple, just failing to tolerate him as a boss. However, his behavior was so terrible that he was forced out of Apple in 1985 after a power struggle with the then CEO, John Sculley. And then he sold another company and then got back into Apple in 1997.
Bought his way back onto the board.
Yeah. So Jobs' girlfriend at the time in 1976 insisted in front of the courts and God and everybody that he was infertile and the child could not be his. His daughter's mother had to go on welfare and juggle several jobs to support her and support her daughter until a DNA test proved in 1980 that Jobs was the father.
Right.
So even after accepting paternity, Steve Jobs basically disowned his daughter. And once nothing to do with her. And when the 9-year-old asked if she could have his Porsche someday, he told her, "You're not getting anything. You understand me? Nothing. You're getting absolutely nothing." And he wasn't kidding. He refused to pay for her college tuition or have her bedroom have heating in her bedroom.
Wow.
Even though at that point he was already a multi-millionaire.
Yeah, probably hundreds of millions. Mm.
So Jobs also had no public record of giving any money to charity, like zero.
No.
At least not even a single gift over $1 million to anyone. According to the people who track gifts of more than $1 million, in fact, one of the first things he did upon returning to Apple in 1997 was close the company's charitable arm. So, yeah.
Good God.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That is terrible.
When he died, he left almost...
Because that was normally a tax break as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, he shut that down. Didn't want to give his charity to anyone. So when he died, he left almost all of his money to his wife, who has been giving it away, but only because he didn't want his children to have it. So Steve Jobs didn't want his children to have his money.
Wow.
So his wife's been doing all the kind giving. Jobs has a habit of firing people without any notice. according to an early Pixar employee, Jobs had neither the emotional nor financial runway to be decent to people he was letting go. And when she argued that they should at least get their 2 weeks, he responded, "Okay, but your notice started 2 weeks ago." So he literally just fired people. Yeah.
Wow. No regard for like the legal system of how you're supposed to let people go.
Yeah. One of the people he started Apple with was a guy called Steve Wozniak.
Yeah.
And he convinced him to keep doing Steve Jobs' work in exchange for a 50-50 split of a promised bonus. Jobs told Wozniak the circuit board that they built together earned him only $700 and gave him $350. But this bonus was actually $5,000. Wozniak didn't find this out until 10 years later. So he lied to the person that he... Yeah, crazy. Wow. I'm getting there. I'm almost there.
No, you're all right. Loads of time. It's a party.
So that wasn't the only time Jobs took credit for something that wasn't his. Given his reputation as a brilliant inventor, his genius seemed to lie mostly in identifying other people's revolutionary ideas and stealing them. From Xerox's graphical user interfaces for the first Macs and a no-name British inventor, his whole concept for a digital audio player for the iPod, Steve Jobs admitted to ripping off and refused to pay these people. He even actually quoted Picasso saying that great artists steal, and Picasso never said that. But he would tell people that's what Picasso said.
Well, it has been said that authors and artists steal ideas off of each other, yeah. Mm. Plagiarism is still a thing, but even like, you know, some of the great minds that we think of, you know, some of the great artists and writers from history, like Shakespeare and Da Vinci and, you know, all that sort of thing, would have been influenced by someone.
Mm. But he was straight up stealing it and telling them, I'm taking it and I'm not paying for you or giving you credit.
Yeah.
So entire books have been written about the culture of fear and tyrannical working conditions at Apple. In 2014, Wozniak said that everyone who he knew who worked at Apple said they would never, ever work for Steve Jobs ever again. That's how bad he was.
Fair play.
Once at a 5-star hotel in London, Jobs declared his room, you're going to have to get the beat machine ready, a piece of shit, and demanded to leave. But before leaving, he went to the reception clerk, who did not have any ownership of the hotel or had anything to do with it. She was
just an employee
on a shift work basis. And he berated her for several minutes before leaving. He also berated an elderly Whole Foods employee, which is a supermarket in America for people that don't know.
Yeah.
For making his smoothie wrong. So she got one of the ingredients wrong or didn't add an ingredient. And he berated her and she was elderly. So that's nice of him.
Oh, lovely.
What
a stand-up guy.
Yeah. He also believed that he could take his shoes off wherever he went and he never showered. He didn't
never.
Like, he didn't like to shower. He said that his natural scent and diet, he was free from smells. But it didn't work because people refused to be in the same room as him.
I bet they did. Yeah.
But he was it's just showing his like kind of ego in a way. That,
yeah.
So
yeah, that's why you've got billions don't care, do they?
He would illegally park in handicapped spaces on the hopes of having confrontation with disabled people.
What, he just wanted to argue that he had more right to park there than they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. Yeah. It's the only reason for it. Like,
okay.
There was also another story where someone went for an interview and it was for a job and it was like some young upstart smart dude.
Yeah.
And he went into the room, you know, they pressed the button, said, oh, Mr. Jobs is ready for you now. So he went into the room for a job interview and Steve Jobs was leant back in the chair with his feet on the table and the guy sat down and the first thing he said was, how old were you when you lost your virginity? The other guy obviously got a bit flustered and said, I don't really know what that has to do with the job interview. To which Steve Jobs replied making turkey noises and started gobbling around the room and then told him to get the F out. So, right. Yeah, so he just used to like...
Didn't want the job after that anyway, no, I imagine.
No, the guy literally just stood up, couldn't believe what had happened and walked out and started telling tabloids about it in media. But it's just showing you the pattern of Steve Jobs and how kind of like...
Stuck up his own arse.
Yeah. This one is absolutely crazy. So remember the first daughter that Steve didn't want anything to do with? He actually went on to remarry and have two or three more kids and still didn't want anything to do with his first daughter.
Right.
And on his deathbed, according to her memoir, the last words he said to her were, you smell like a toilet, to his
first daughter's face.
Yeah, on his deathbed.
And then she promptly died.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, apparently his actual last words were, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. And then he died.
Oh, right, oh, okay.
So, yeah, I don't know what he saw. That's pretty much all I got on Steve Jobs, to be honest with you. Just some little tidbits.
That is pretty evil.
Yeah. And what's crazy is I'd been told over the years that like he was this genius and he was actually, you know, like an inventor and all this stuff.
Yeah, but he really wasn't.
No, not really. And I think
he was good at marketing.
He was. He didn't actually, it seems to me anyway, like I'm pretty sure there's a comedian out there that's already said this kind of similar thing and I can't think who it is. But they've said like everyone praises him and says what a genius he is. But he didn't actually make the actual thing. And there was a famous story that I'd heard of the people that actually made the iPod or the iPhone, one of the two. They'd spent months working on it and they presented it and it done everything that he said that Steve Jobs wanted in this item. And he took it from the inventor and just straight away dropped it in like a glass of water.
Right.
And then said, this isn't right. There's bubbles coming out of it. That means there's more space in this. Make it better. And he didn't
just
even...
Just destroyed their prototype.
It. Yeah. So he does stuff like that. And then some people will say, oh, wow, what a crazy guy. What a genius. Like, oh, who would have thought of that? And it's like, at what point do you draw that line? And you say, well, actually, that's kind of bullying. Like, it's pretty bad.
It designed something that was doing all the things that you wanted it to do. So, you know, who cares if there's
slightly bigger
bubbles coming out of it? Yeah. What you should have said is, make it waterproof.
Yeah. I think eventually they did, but...
Well, they pretty much did, yeah. I've on fishing trips, I've known a few people that have dropped their phone in the river and we've fished them out and they still work. So,
stick it in a jar of rice.
Not even that.
But I think you'll agree, Pirate, that that information on Apple and Steve Jobs was shocking.
Oh, no, here we go again.
Will Pyro get shocked for the fourth time?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Why does it keep getting me?
Come on.
Ow.
I haven't even rigged it. It just doesn't like it.
I know. I bought it. That's probably why. I don't know. But anyway. Yes. Shocking. So, we're not doing our own paranormality rating this week. You should write in and tell us who you think out of our two is the evilest empire.
Mm.
And there are ways that you can do that. There is paranormality.uk@gmail.com. Just like a few people have done. We've mentioned a few people in the past. Lauren was one that I think was the first person that ever wrote in.
She even came up with a T-shirt design for us, our original shirt.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. A few other people that have written in over the years. A couple of people that haven't had a shout-out was Callum.
Mm-hmm.
Emma? Emma, that was it, Emma. Emma, you know who you are, Callum and Emma. Also, you can come along to our Discord and join that. And we've actually got more members to Discord than I actually realised than we have. So I'm going to read them out.
Mm-hmm.
So if this is one of you, let us know. Write us a message on Discord and say thank you for the shout out. So I guess in our alphabetical order, we have Annual Jumpman. We have Becca. We have Dell, who only just joined the other day. Shout out to Dell, because she sent us an email as well. And she said that your laugh is very gripping.
Yeah, which is a lovely compliment. I thought I had quite a boring laugh, to be honest. But no, it's very
she
nice.
She thinks it's very nice. And she said we're both very super.
Oh, thank you, Dell. That's lovely.
Polar Bear. His real name's Elliot. Well, it's on Discord. People can find that out for themselves. Gothman, who actually is Clive Potter, so he should have come earlier anyway. Hannah 1292, Jad, Lauren again, Moistly J, who was our second Patreon, who has an official bandana, which is the only way you can get it, by joining our Patreon. Penguin. See, he just likes to be called Penguin. Penguin 37.
Yeah, true.
Rogue Pest, T-Bone. In fact, I guess Moistly J has kind of been on the podcast because you played his voicemail message one time, didn't you?
He does get involved.
And Teflon Man and Toomsy, of course, Toomsy. We can't forget Toomsy.
Yeah, yeah.
Been on a couple of times. But yeah, that is pretty much all we got on our Discord at the moment. So if you would like to join our Discord, along with those people, join it. There's a link in the description, as always. And come and tell us who you think has the evilest empire. Is it YouTube or is it Apple?
And Steve also, Jobs. I would like to know, because I'm about to ask you the same question, but I would like people to let us know what their favourite episode has been. What subject has really tickled their teats?
And whose subject is your favourite? Would it be Josh's or would it be mine? And you're about to ask me who my favourite episode is. Well, I'm going to do one of each.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I think my favourite episode that you've done has got to be the Strange Food episode.
That was fun.
Because it was so out there. It was just a complete random one. And also, Toomsy just made that episode when he crumbled up his Oreo into his orange juice and literally drank his Oreo instead of eating it. And the faces that he was pulling was phenomenal. And when he dipped his strawberry in the hot sauce and you were like, no, don't eat that. Proper made me laugh.
Yeah.
And my face when I bit into that pickle with
peanut butter.
No, whoever thought that pickles and peanut butter would be a good idea?
I've actually had it again since.
Have you?
And it's still bad. Yeah. Yeah.
And my favourite one that I've done, I think, is the Ong's Hat episode.
Mm, yeah, that was titled a good one.
These scientists ripped a hole in reality from our cabin in the woods. Simply because, I know that was a Joseph Matheny story, but I managed to, you know, go into all the science behind it and all, and I had you stringing along for about almost all the way through the entire episode, and the last 10 minutes was just like, yeah, it's all made up, mate. Yeah, you're like, what? What?
That did get me. I think my favourite too, I liked the one that I did to try and get you, the subliminal message.
Oh, yeah. That was,
because
yeah.
It didn't work at all.
Elephant.
Yeah. And that whole story arc right to the end was actually, like, it had me in stitches just thinking about it earlier. So I've got to say that one. And then the one that you done that I actually found the most interesting.
Oh, drum roll.
Probably the Dybbuk box.
Oh, really?
Yeah. One of two reasons. So one...
I pretty much debunked that, though.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I liked about it. So The first reason I liked it...
You were probably scared. I didn't want to do it.
No, I wouldn't say too scared.
Bricking it.
I didn't want the bad juju. That was what it was. So I didn't want to touch it. So then you covered it. So it was a bit of a relief. I was like, oh, yeah, I don't have to deal with that. And then the second one was we actually had quite a lot of... That was the first video that I noticed where there was proper interaction of people actually... asking more questions about it to us we had literally like Skeptic Louis was like I don't believe in it, mate, I'll take a dump in that box.
That's right.
Stuff like that. So there was like funny interactions.
Skeptic Louis.
So there was like some funny interactions with that episode and that was the first time when I actually felt like, oh no, we're actually doing the right thing by doing this podcast kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a standout episode for me anyway. It was really interesting as well.
Oh, fair play.
The stuff about Zach Baggins and things like that.
I didn't expect you to pick that one.
No, it's fairly early on, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It's a fond memory. So let us know what your favourite episode is.
That went in fairness, that kind of segues into pretty much the final feature of this podcast.
Yeah.
We've gone from something, a myth, a Dybbuk box that could kill you, to something that actually could kill us.
Yeah.
And do you want to tell everybody what you've thunk up?
Yeah, yeah. So just like the electric game, I thought for the listeners' entertainment, we would do the electric game to shock ourselves. And it's been great that Pirates only got shocked today.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful.
Yeah, thanks for that.
And the other thing was... I've seen it on a few videos and podcasts, smelling salts.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know too much about smelling salts, but it wasn't until Pirate ordered some, and we thought, yeah, we'll just do it for a laugh. It's just sniffing something and waking you up.
Didn't you say that, was it the podcast Bad Friends did it?
Like, yeah,
or whatever it is.
And the reactions were hilarious. So I thought we'd give it a go. But it wasn't until you received the bottle that it says there's a chance of death.
Well, yeah, let me read it. So I ordered from Amazon a bottle of something called Beast Strong Smelling Salts. And that's not Mr. Beast. This is just Beast.
Mm.
And when I read the instructions, it says, warning. By opening this product, you accept all responsibility and liability to any injury and or death that may occur to yourself and any third parties. Exposure to heat may cause bottle to fizz and leak when opening. To minimize risk of leaks, twist lid slowly to allow any pressure to escape and close the lid after use. Keep out of reach of children and not recommended for medical use. Contains ammonia.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite extreme.
So, yeah, technically, I guess this could kill us.
Yeah, technically, it could kill us.
So, without further ado, we're going to try some smelling salts.
Yeah.
And I would like to say, don't try this at home. Well, I am going to say, don't try this at home, particularly if you're a child, I suppose. Keep out of reach of children. And I would like to say that we're doing this under the supervision of professional medical paramedics or something like that, but we're really not.
Mm. We should be.
We probably should be, but we're not. So,
yeah.
We're going to dive it. I'm going to have to go first, and I, the way you're looking at it.
I don't know.
I'm going to go first.
Oh, he's going for
it. To prove that it's not going to kill us.
Be careful.
Oh, I can already smell it.
Oh, my God, be careful.
Oh, my God. Whoop! Fuck hell.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right.
I feel scared. Is it like a medical cap?
Oh, just you're wearing glasses, so you'll be better than me. Just oh,
Jesus, tap dancing Christ! What the hell? No, whoa! I was not expecting that. Whoa, that woke me up, man.
Tingly.
Whoa! That really woke me up, dude. Yeah. Oh my God!
Greg, we should have done that at the start. I'm gonna have
jeez!
I'm gonna do it again,
mate. That is crazy.
Oh! Whoa!
Wow!
Jeez!
Jiminy crickets, man! Wow.
Oh, that's making my eyes water, but... Oh.
I think it's safe to say that is much worse than the electric machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, should we take a shot of the electric machine, man? I don't think I'll even feel it now.
I welcome it. Come on, five out of five.
Get Bond. Get Josh. Get Josh. Get Josh. Get Josh. Get Josh. Get Josh. I can't even say it. Ah, go on. I felt something.
I can't believe that got you five times out of five.
I think it got me then as well, but my fingers are so tingly, I really didn't get much from it. And my eyes are watering. But
wow.
Wow, that smells really bad. Do you remember, you asked me the other day if it, what is ammonia. Do you recognise it now?
Yeah.
I bet you do.
Woo, I feel like I can tip over a car.
I want to go run.
Should we go run?
Yeah, let's go run.
Whoa.
Oh. Well, it didn't kill us, everybody.
Yeah, we made it.
Yeah, there we go. It was touch and go for a minute there. But yeah,
I don't know what happened. That was like it ignited my brain and I had two brains.
Yeah.
That was insane.
Yeah, I've got this weird feeling behind my ears now.
Yeah, my nostrils are a bit tingly.
Yeah, I'll bet. Cool. Okay, wow. So.
One last question.
Go for it.
Now can I eat a cherry bakewell?
Now you can eat a cherry bakewell. And until next week, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK's 100th episode. Ta-ta.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Discover Hydro, the best-kept secret in fitness. Hydro is the state-of-the-art home rower that engages 86% of your muscles, delivering the ultimate full-body workout in just 20 minutes. From advanced to beginner, Hydro has over 5,000 classes, shot worldwide, and taught by Olympians and world-class athletes. For a 30-day risk-free trial, go to Hydro.com and use code ROW to save $475 on a Hydro Pro rower. That's HYDROW.com, code ROW.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy.
Comfy.
I'm cozy.
Cozy.
I have zero blisters on my toes.
Blisters.
And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and T-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Thanks.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.